With me to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. There's been a huge push by the anti-God or atheistic society part of our community, of our nation, to minimize the foundation and heritage of Christ in our nation. There's been a huge push to silence the voices of the gospel and of Christians. While as they minimize, as Christians we're going to see today, we need to maximize Christ. Instead of being content with being timid, we must be bold. I have been dominated for the last several months by a statement that someone made from Colorado, a billionaire atheist who is very anti-God and is trying to suppress the truth of God. He made a statement that said this: when they, referring to us as Christians, are timid, we, referring to them, godless, anti-biblical, we must be bold. I thought, we as Christians need to turn that statement around.
Yes,
we must be bold. We must show up, we must stand up, and we must speak up. So you have Psalm 33. Let's all stand out of respect for God's word. And the common verse that we always read is Psalm 33:12, the first part, but I'd like us to read verses 8 through 14. It's kind of a lengthy section, so just follow along as I read Psalm 33, 8 through 14. It says this: let all the earth fear the Lord. Respect, have a healthy respect for God. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation, He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You so much for the heritage and foundation that we have and the freedoms that we have in this country. Lord, help us not to take them for granted. Lord, help us to stand for the truth. Help us to speak up. Help us to glorify You by how we live and how we communicate. Lord, I pray that we would advance Jesus Christ in our communities, in our state, and in our nation. And let's not stop there, Lord. Let's impact You. Let's advance You in our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Obviously this week, July 4th, the birthday of our country, Declaration of Independence was signed July 4th, 1776. I wanted for introduction just to take a little bit of time and let's do a little bit of a trivia challenge. You have it in your notes, I believe. I think I have 8 questions there, and I just want to test our knowledge of July 4th in America. So I'm going to ask you some questions and see how you can answer these in the best way. First question is a very deep theological question is this: Americans eat approximately how many hot dogs on July 4th weekend? 3 choices there. 1 million, 100 million, or 150 million. I see C. Let's see the answer. 150 million hot dogs. Next question. What happened on July 4th? I already gave you the answer. A, America won the Revolutionary War. Is that what we celebrate on July 4th? The Declaration of Independence was approved by Congress. Or C, George Washington was named our first president. Letter B, the Declaration of Independence was approved by Congress. True or false? If you're listening at the very beginning, you'll know the answer to this. The Star-Spangled Banner is our national anthem, but it was not played at all during the Revolutionary War. It's true. It was actually written by Francis Scott Key, the War of 1812. Next question. Which state is known as the first state in the Union? You have 4 choices there. Delaware, Massachusetts, New York, or Alaska? Please don't say Alaska. A, Delaware. Delaware was the first state. How many stars were on the original United States flag? 13. How many stripes are on the current United States flag? 13. How many states made up the original United States of America? 13. Colonies became the states, United States of America. You have, I believe it's 6 white and 7 red stripes on our flag. And now we have 50 stars representing the 50 states. And last question, where was the capital of the United States in 1776? Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Liberty Bell. I'd also like to take some time just to talk about the foundation and heritage of our country. As I've said, there's been this huge push to suppress any godly or Christian heritage of our country, to rewrite the history books, to ignore the thought that God or Jesus Christ or the Bible was a foundation of our country. Let me just say this. I understand, and I'm not naive to the fact that every single one of our founding fathers, they were not all biblical fundamentalists Christians, okay? But I do want to point out documented fact here that our country was based upon and founded upon a biblical, God-fearing, Christ-honoring mindset. Amen. And the atheists, the anti-God, anti-biblical agenda today wants to minimize this. But here is documented fact and quotes from some of our founding fathers. And I give you where it was stated in the quotes here. So guess who these are. I give you some options there. See if you can guess who said it. The first one is this. This person said, it cannot, these are all found, most of these are founding fathers. All of these are founding fathers. Those who framed our country. He said this, it cannot be emphasized too clearly and too often that this nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said this in May 1765 at a speech to the House of Burgesses. Okay, this is documented. He also said this, the Bible is worth all other books which have ever been printed. Hint is, he also said, give me liberty or give me death. Who said that? Patrick Henry. Patrick Henry. This is a big one. And there are many other quotes that we could include. But he said this, and there's several. The next one, I know there's a lot, so I would refer you to your notes kind of written. There's a lot on that slide. I consider it an indispensable duty to close this last solemn act of my official life by commending the interests of our dearest country to the protection of Almighty God and those who have the superintendence of them into His holy keeping. He also said this, it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly implore His protection and favor. He also said this, it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. Another quote, what students would learn in American schools above all is the religion of Jesus Christ. Who would say that today? But this is our founding. He said a speech to the Delaware Indian Chiefs on May 12, 1779. That's documented. He also said this, to the distinguished character of patriot, it should be our highest glory to add the more distinguished character of Christian. The hint is father. George Washington said that, first president. I mean, just in contrast to that, in Colorado, our leaders just passed a bill that suppressed any teaching of religious values and norms in sexual education. Suppressed. You cannot legally teach that. And what did our founding father say this? He said, what students would learn in American schools above all is the religion of Jesus Christ. Amen. Next slide. Another founding father. He said this, "We recognize no sovereign but God and no king but Jesus." He said that on April 18th, 1775. Next one, he said, in referring to July 4th, "July 4th ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty." Then he also said this, "The law given from Sinai," the Ten Commandments he's referring to, "was a civil and municipal as well as a moral and religious code." So hint was his son was a president too. That was John Adams. John Adams. Another foundational biblical quote is this, "I have examined all religions, as well as my narrow sphere, my straitened means, and my busy life would allow, and the result is that the Bible is the best book in the world. It contains more philosophy than all the libraries I have seen." He said that on December 25th, 1813, in a letter to Thomas Jefferson. Hint is, who said that? John Hancock. He had the biggest signature in the Declaration. Then another one. Once again, I want to reiterate, all of our founding fathers were not fundamental Baptists, but I do want to get across the idea of their foundation of God and the Bible. This man said this, "God governs in the affairs of man, and if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice," referring to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5-7, "Is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured in the sacred writings that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this. I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel." He said this to the Constitutional Convention of 1787. Again, he said this, "In the beginning of the contest with Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayers in this room for divine protection." They said separation of church from state. No way. "Our prayers, sir, daily were heard and they were graciously answered." Then he said, "Do we imagine we no longer need his assistance?" Exactly. And last one there, in this man's 1748 plan of education for public schools in Pennsylvania, he insisted that schools teach this, "The excellency of the Christian religion above all others, ancient or modern." He said, that's what we need public schools for. Who's this man? Benjamin Franklin. Alexander Hamilton said this, "I have carefully examined the evidences of the Christian religion, and if I was sitting as a juror upon its authenticity, I would unhesitatingly give my verdict in its favor. I can prove its truth as clearly as any proposition ever submitted to the mind of man." That was Alexander Hamilton. The next man, and I think it's interesting, he was a pastor and he was a signer of the Declaration of Independence. He said this, "He is the best friend of American liberty who is most sincere and active in promoting pure and undefiled religion." That was John Witherspoon. And this man was not perfect, this has been pointed out, but I will say the anti-biblical agenda has attacked this man hard. But here's some quotes from him. He said this, "I am a real Christian, that is to say a disciple of the doctrines of Jesus." He also said this, "God who gave us life gave us liberty. And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are a gift from God? That they are not to be violated, but with his wrath? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that his justice cannot sleep forever." That's a scary thought today. People say, no, he wouldn't have said that. Well, I've documented where he said that. Excerpts are written, inscribed on the walls of this man's memorial in the nation's capital, and there's sources for it right there in front of you. Who said that? Thomas Jefferson. Next, couple more. Another man said this, one of our founding fathers, if we are not governed by God, then we will be ruled by tyrants. He was the founder of Pennsylvania. Who said that? William Penn. I'll get into that. Next man has said this, we have staked the whole future of American civilization not upon the power of government, far from it. We have staked the future of all our political institutions upon our capacity to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God. He said that in 1778 to the General Assembly of the State of Virginia. That was James Madison. And this isn't in your notes, but in 1636, the Harvard student guideline said this, let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well the main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life, John 17:3, and therefore to lay Christ in the bottom as the only foundation of all sound knowledge and learning, and seeing the Lord only giveth wisdom, let everyone seriously set himself by prayer in secret to seek it of him, Proverbs 2:3. Everyone shall also exercise himself in reading the scriptures twice a day, that he shall be ready to give such an account of his proficiency therein. See where Harvard is today. Higher learning, education. Can you see this in the student guideline book at Harvard University today? No, it's almost the extreme opposite. And then in your notes, you have the 1787, same year as the Constitution, Constitutional Congress, Yale's student guideline, Ivy League school. The foundation of Yale said this, all the scholars are required to live a religious and blameless life according to the rules of God's word, diligently reading the holy scriptures, that fountain of divine light and truth, and constantly attending all the duties of religion. My, how far have we strayed today in 2019? I was thinking of an analogy someone shared with me yesterday of the sport of basketball. When you have the sport of basketball, what do you have? It's instituted. You have the rule book. What do you have? You have the sidelines. You have all these rules. What would happen if all of a sudden you took all the lines off the court? You took all the rules away and you said, go play. I think today in America, the same thing is becoming true. As we have just seen, America was founded upon the truth and at least the desire to see God honored, to see the scriptures as our foundation, to see Jesus Christ. Obviously, there were some deists in our founding fathers who believed in God, but not necessarily the Jesus Christ of the Bible. But as we've seen, Jesus Christ, God, Bible, are foundational to the rules and laws of our country. And as soon as we ignore God or the Bible or Jesus Christ, it's like us trying to play basketball without a rule book. It's like us trying to play an NFL football game without any of the yard markers or any of the touchdowns or any of the field goals. What's the main point? America was built on biblical principles, with God and Jesus being very prominent. So there's two biblical applications, two main points that I'd like us to share today. First of all, number one, as citizens of America, or really we could translate what we're learning today, these principles, to any government across the world. As citizens of a country, the Bible says that we must do five things. Number one, pray for our leaders. Pray for our leaders. We've been studying through Colossians. And Colossians 1 gives us a good template. It says we need to pray for in two main ways. Pray for knowledge of God's will and pray for the application of God's plan. So as we pray for our leaders, pray that God would open the eyes of their understanding, that God would help them see life from His perspective, that God would give them a knowledge of His will. And then second of all, we need to pray for our leaders that they would apply that knowledge of God's will to us and to the laws of our land. We already looked at it, so I'll just read it simply. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4 says this, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for everybody, for all people. But now specifically, verse 2, for kings, for leaders, for our leaders, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Basically, that there wouldn't be chaos, but that there would be order and freedom, justice. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's the foundation of why God wants us to have a free government. Why? So that we would have freedom to share and advance Jesus Christ and the biblical truth. Let me just say this. A challenge to me and a challenge to all of us. Are we utilizing our freedom of religion? Or are we just suppressing on it, sitting on it and doing nothing? We have a freedom in this country, but our freedoms are going to be taken away if we don't stand up and speak up about the truth of the Bible. Not only should we pray for our leaders, but as citizens, we must, number two, submit to the laws of our government. Romans 13, 1 through 7 says this, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. It means God has placed these leaders in your life. And you say, well, you don't know about our current government. Well, look at, who is this? Nero was probably the leader when Paul wrote this. All right? Verse 2, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror of good works, but to evil. It means the rulers of the nation are supposed to instill justice. They're there for your safety. Wilt thou then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, because of this concept, ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause, pay ye tribute also, pay your taxes. For they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And then verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And then Titus 3:1-2, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Be contributing members to society. Be submissive. To speak evil of no man, but to be brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. So what's the point? As Christians, we must submit to the laws of our government and stand out as positive, loving, contributing, yet firm in our faith, members of society. As citizens of America, letter C, we must realize that God is our higher authority. Yes, we're to submit to the laws of our land, but what if the laws of our land tell us to do something that is completely contrary to the truth of God's word? We have a dilemma because God tells us to submit to the laws of our land, but he also tells us to submit to the foundation of truth of the Bible, of his truth. So what do we do in that situation? Letter C, realize that God is our higher authority. The passage is very long, so I will summarize it. Acts 5, 17 through 29. I'll just read the first couple verses and then summarize it with verse 29. Then the high priest rose up and all they that were with him, which is of the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. So, in Jerusalem, after Jesus Christ had risen from the dead and ascended to heaven, he had given them the Great Commission, and his apostles, his followers, were spreading the gospel. And the Jewish leaders, the high priests and the Jewish leaders said, we cannot have this. So they were the political leaders and the religious leaders of Jerusalem, and they came to the apostles and they said, you must stop preaching the gospel. Stop spreading Christ. Stop. And they threw him in prison. And basically, if you read the entire passage, they were released from prison. And then, where did they go? Right back out and preach the gospel.
Amen.
And then, verse 29, let's start in verse 27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intent to bring this man's blood upon us. Verse 29 of Acts 5, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men.
Amen.
So what's the principle here? Yes, we need to be contributing, respectful, submissive members and citizens of our government. But what about when our government and the Bible clash? The truth of God clash. Acts 5 gives us a good pattern and template here. God is our higher authority. Obey God rather than men. Verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than men. Another example is Daniel chapter 1. Remember in Daniel 1, we heard last Sunday night from Lance as he preached from Daniel chapter 1 about Daniel and his three friends. And they were told to do something that went against what God had told them to do. Verse Daniel 1:8, without giving all the background, Daniel 1:8 says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. What did he do? He didn't just rebelliously ignore what his authorities had told him to do. He tactfully, lovingly, respectfully stood firm. And he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. As Christians, instead of just going with the flow, there are times when we need to stand for the truth and creative with how to present the truth of God and stand firm for the truth of God's word. Another example, Daniel 6, where Daniel prayed openly, even though it was against the law. Do you remember that? His jealous rivals, not his rivals, but they hated him. They came up with this law that said you can't pray openly in Babylon. And what did he do? He opened the window and prayed anyway because he ought to obey God rather than men. Daniel 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's statue, even though it was commanded. John 18, 35 through 37, an example of Jesus Christ himself. He says this, Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation to Jesus, and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. So what's the thought? Yes, we are citizens of a wonderful country, America, the United States of America. And yes, we should respect and submit and obey the laws of our land. But superseding our citizenship of America is our citizenship of heaven. Amen. And that's Jesus' point. Realize that we're citizens of heaven first and citizens of America second. So next, how do we respond to this? We must be responsible, good citizens. Matthew 22:15-22, I'll summarize because of time. Basically, it's when the Pharisees took counsel how they might trick Jesus. And they came to him with a coin and said, should we pay our taxes? And basically, if he said no, they would turn him into the Roman government saying he is preaching insurrection. He is trying to lead a political rebellion. But if he said yes, then they could trap him in the words and say, hey, he's not really God because he's teaching the power of Rome, the authority of Rome. And so how did Jesus respond? Then he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and unto God the things that are God's. When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. That same concept, citizens of heaven first, citizens of earth second. 1 Peter 2:12-17 gives us in 2019 as Christians a good template to follow. Having your conversation, that means how you conduct yourself, how you communicate yourself in your world, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. It means in society, honesty needs to be a characteristic. That, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors or unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, respect God, honor the king. What's the point? As Christians in society, have a testimony and a character that is exemplary, that is loving, that is honest, that's honorable, that respects God, that stands firm for God, but contributes in your society. That is what it says, is what it's going to take to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Stand firm, but do it in a accurate, biblical way. And then you don't have it in your notes, but 2 Corinthians 5:20 shares the same concept. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Be close to God as ambassadors. Just like an ambassador goes to a foreign country, we as Christians in a godless society needs to stand for Christ and represent him well. Amen. Then last of all, be responsible, good Christians. Not only be responsible, good citizens, be responsible, good Christians. Be salt and light with your witness and your testimony in this world. Don't be content with sitting in the shadows, hiding. Matthew 5:13-16 says this, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, and let me just say, as Christians, I'm convicted by this, and we should all be convicted by this, have we lost our savor? Are we just sitting by and doing nothing? Yeah, talking about it amongst ourselves, but doing nothing in our community or our nation for the Lord. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? What's the point of it? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden out underfoot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light, let our light so shine before men that they may see your good works, your contributions, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So as Christians, we are salt and we are light. But are we salt and light? Next passage, you have the Matthew 28, 19 and 20, the commission that we have. As much as we love to celebrate our country and the birth of our country and the freedoms that we have of this country and the glory of our country and the wonder of our country, and we're thankful for it, we're not minimizing that, but we have a job to do. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, including America, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. In our society, it's becoming illegal to teach religious ideology. What does Jesus tell us in Matthew 28, 20? Teaching them. That's a command, a commission. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I, Jesus, have commanded you. Amen. So first biblical application is this. As citizens of America or any government, the Bible says that we must pray for our leaders, submit to the laws of our government, realize that God is our higher authority, Amen. Be responsible, good, contributing citizens, and be responsible, good, contributing Christians. So kind of in conclusion, the second point is this. If a nation or people want to be blessed by God, there's four things that we must do. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says this. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their land and will heal their land. I want to point out one quick clarification and then apply this. 2 Chronicles is specifically talking about the nation of God's people, Israel. Okay? So we don't want to overdo this. But at the same time, the principles are there for all people. This is specifically given to Israel, but it can be applied by us as Christians. Okay? And the principle is this. From Psalm 33, verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. If my people, which are called by my name, if a people of God, if a nation wants to be blessed by God, here is the template. Number one, we must be humble. Shall humble themselves. We must place ourselves under the authority of God. In America right now, this is not the case. Humanism. Postmodernism, relativism, who's in charge? We are. We as a nation must get to the point where we make God our king, our authority, submit ourselves to him. We must be humble. And then what does it say? And pray. We must pray. People of prayer, how often do we pray for our leaders and for our country and for our society? I've been challenged by this for the last several months. Every morning, I have a prayer list. Do we know who our leaders are? And do we pray for them? My challenge to you is this. Find out who your city councilor is and pray for them. Find out who your state representative and state senator are and pray for them. Find out who your governor is. Find out who your U.S. House of Representative is, your senator, your senators, obviously your vice president and your president, pray for them that God would give them a knowledge of his will and that they would act upon it accurately and biblically. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our society. And then let us see, we must seek God's face. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, we must have a desire for God to be the main part of our society. Don't shy away from the authority of God's word and God's truth. Don't allow people to put that aside. God's word is our authority. That is our worldview. And last, we must repent from our sins and turn from their wicked ways. There must be sorrow and cleansing of sin. We as a country are in a sinful, evil state. You think of abortion, you think of different issues throughout our society, LGBTQ, whatever it is, that are completely contrary to the word of God, but are celebrated. And people actually have pride in sin. Clearly in scripture, abortion, homosexuality are a sin. And they're celebrated, and there's pride about sin. We as a country must repent of our sins. We must turn from that, not celebrate it. What happens if we humble ourselves, pray, seek God's face, and repent from our sins? The blessings, God says, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. So the blessings is, number one, God will hear us. God will forgive us, and God will heal our land. So what? As we look at this today, we have seen the foundation, the heritage of God, the Bible, and Jesus Christ in this wonderful country we live in. But as Christians, we find two biblical applications to this. Number one, as citizens of America or any government, we need to pray for our leaders, submit to the laws of our land, realize that God is the higher authority, be good citizens, and be good Christians. If we want to be blessed by God as American, as the nation of America, we must be humble, we must pray, we must seek God's face, and we must repent from our sins. When we do that, if we do that, God will hear, God will forgive, and God will heal. As Christians, enough is enough. We need to stand up, we need to show up, and we need to speak up with the truth of God's word. So what? How do we respond to this? Now what? What do we do with this? Here's some challenges. Number one, take a stand when people ignore or attack our Christian foundations. Amen. I've just given you documented facts of the foundation of God in our country. When someone comes and says, oh, God was not really a part of our country, and they start attacking that, know the truth. Stand for it. Second of all, pray for our government and our leaders. Make a commitment to pray for our leaders. Number three, obey and respect the laws of our land. Number four, remember that you are a citizen of heaven first and a citizen of earth second. We're not of this world. So easy, let me just side note, so easy for us to get so caught up in the politics of our city or our state or our nation and let it just dominate us. Well, what was Jesus' truth? And what was all these verses that we looked at? The thought is, supersede that. Live with eternity in focus. Realize that we are a citizen of heaven first. We're a citizen of earth second. Live with eternity in mind. Don't forget about the here and now. But live with a solid foundation of eternity. Next, so what? Make a good impact on your city and your country. Don't stand idly by and do nothing. One of the wonderful freedoms of America is we can get involved. We can show up. We can stand up and we can speak up. So do it. I think practically, so now what? I'm kind of taking it to the next step. show up with Mark on Saturdays. Okay? Can you imagine if it's five people speaking up versus 50 people speaking up or 500 people speaking up? All right? Show up. If you have community city meetings, town halls, you have state meetings, or you have government or political or whatever it be, show up to those. Make sure that there's a Christian biblical voice and get involved. Next, be a good citizen. Contribute. Take care. Serve like Christ would serve with your neighbors. Mow their lawn. Cut their grass. Help them with their yard work. Bring them a meal. Say, I'm doing this because I love Jesus Christ and I love you. Contribute. Be a good citizen. Next, be a powerful Christian. Christian, little Christ. Live like Christ would if he were alive in your community in 2019. And last of all, be salt and light to our nation. Not only be a good testimony, but make a God-honoring impact. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for this country, Lord. Thank you for the freedoms we have, for the heritage we have, and the godly foundation that we've been built upon. Lord, help us not to ignore those. Help us as Christians today to live in light of your word. Help us to do all that we can to glorify you and to advance Jesus Christ in our communities, in our cities, in our state, our nation, and our world. Help us to depend on your Holy Spirit. Thank you so much that we have Christ in us, the hope of glory, who strengthens us. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who comforts us and guides us and directs us. Lord, I pray that we would not be so comfortable that we never do anything, but help us to stretch ourselves just like you did and the Apostle Paul did and Peter and the apostles did, and over and over and over again, just like Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and Esther and David. And on and on and on and on and on in Scripture, Lord. Help us not to be sitting in the sidelines doing nothing, but help us to take a stand for you and your truth and your advancement. We love you, Lord. We thank you for putting us here. And I pray that we would accurately represent you in this world.